Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio. Heart Health Radio. Oh, oh, oh. HeartHealthRadio.com. Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. I'm Dave Alexander. He is Dr. Franklin Weefald.
It's cold out there.
Yeah, it is.
I'm cold.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well,
nothing I can do.
It's not good to be cold.
You want to take my jacket?
You know, that's why they call them colds.
What?
Because they used to think that they happened because of the cold weather.
Sure.
But you know why they really happen?
I don't know why they happen.
Because when it's cold, you gather inside.
Yeah.
And you spread germs. So if you have a cold in the summer, shouldn't it be called a warm?
I don't know.
Not warm,
sure.
But warm.
Warm.
Yeah, because you're outside playing basketball or sports, and you know the contact gives you the cold.
I don't know.
I'm being silly.
But honestly,
people used to think that if you got cold, it weakened your immune system.
Sure.
But you know the Navy studied that?
Yeah.
They took a bunch of squids, or Navy people, and submerged them in icy water. And then looked to see if they got sick.
Okay.
And the answer was they didn't.
Up to their shoulders, though. Like up to their neck.
I don't know.
Not completely submerged.
Up to your neck in a cold.
All right.
But anyway, just so you know, it's the reason why they call them colds.
I would appreciate it if you wouldn't mention germs for the rest of the show.
What do you mean? You know, it's interesting. People don't like that term anymore.
Germs?
Germ.
Yeah.
I think it's from germ warfare.
I think whatever could it be that made people not want to talk about germs?
I don't know. Germs are good. You know why?
Why?
Because if you're exposed to germs, you become immune, and that immunity crosses over to other germs, which is what we'll talk about in terms of super immunity later on.
All right.
Let's get on to Omicron.
There is a new, they call it a variant. It's
a mutant.
Omicron, right. And they're
saying. You're not allowed to use the word mutant either. That's not politically correct.
In the stories, it said multiple mutations with this one.
32.
Are you very afraid?
No. I am concerned that we're going to see another spike in infections. But sure that we're going to see another spike in hospitalizations and deaths. That doesn't mean, no, that's not going to happen, but there's no evidence that that's the case. And in fact, transmissibility does not correlate necessarily with morbidity and mortality. So what's the story here? Apparently, there was one person, again, who had an autoimmune disease and got COVID, the COVID variant, and it stayed in their body for a month.
Okay.
And when viruses reproduce, they naturally mutate. Okay, because there are errors in the DNA, RNA machinery.
Yeah.
So they create mutations. And the reason why we don't mutate is because we don't have as many of the reproductions as a virus does.
Okay.
I mean, what did Carl Sagan say? Billions and billions.
Yeah.
These are teeny, weeny, tiny particles. And there are billions and billions of them reproducing every whatever, a minute or so. And so there's bound to be mutations. And some of these mutations are bad. They make the virus not very strong. But some of them render the virus more potent.
Right.
Well, this particular variant, Omicron, has 32 different mutations from the original SARS-CoV-2.
Okay.
And, you know, for me, it just seems kind of weird. I would think that many mutations would make that spike protein so weird that it can't bind to the ACE protein, which is what happens in our nose and in our lungs. The ACE inhibitor angiotensin converting enzyme, receptor, is what it binds to. So you would think, you know, 32 mistakes would make it less potent, but it made it more potent.
Every time we hear mutation, we think this is it.
Yeah.
going to wipe us all out.
And that's why most colds go away, because the virus is mutated to a benign form. And quite frankly, I thought that was going to happen with SARS-CoV-2, but it didn't. It was the opposite. Now, how many mutations are out there that did become benign? Probably many, many more than the ones that became more potent. But I still can't figure out why'd they name it Omicron?
I do. I know.
You know.
Here's the deal. Remember when we were calling them by the geography, and some people wanted to call the original the Hunan virus or the Chinese SARS or whatever. And then the WHO, the World Health Organization, said, no, that's racist. Let's not do that. We're not going to call it the Indian variant.
The political variant.
We're going to call
politically up. Correct variant.
So they
PC
started
variant.
Naming them for the Greek alphabet. Now, here's the thing. If you were a fraternity member, okay, you had to memorize the Greek alphabet.
I never was in a frat. Were you in a frat?
No, 6 hours. Yeah, long story.
So anyway, you got too drunk and they threw you out.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So you go along in the alphabet, and you get to mu, M-U.
Mu.
And then
is
N-U,
that what it is?
N-U, new. Which is new. And the WHO claims that, listen, we didn't want to call it the new because it's too similar.
To the new.
To the word in English,
yeah,
new. The next one up after new is Z, X, I. Which happens to be the head of the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
And they skipped over that
one. Yeah, conveniently skipped over it. Omicron.
I just think it's amazing.
Yeah.
They are so scared of China that they did this.
Yeah.
If the next letter was Trump, do you really think they would have skipped it?
Well, I think that we're going to have a COVID fraternity.
A what?
A COVID fraternity, Alpha Delta Omicron, you know? And they could all hang out and pretend they're scientists studying the COVID virus. And then on Saturday nights, get drunk as all get out.
That's a specific fraternity for?
For COVID. Alpha for Delta COVID. Omicron.
Okay. All right.
Did you know no fraternities have Omicron in them?
I didn't know that.
What, have you heard of one? You know, beta, gamma, delta?
Tappa keg a day?
Yeah. Tappa keg. Oh, no, I get it.
All right. So we've cut off the top of the hour news indicated that from South Africa and from the other countries in
because
Africa.
Because people need to know what's going on. There's a lot of, I think, misinformation.
We've cut off air travel with them, which
I
is
think
similar.
That's smart.
Okay.
Until we know. I mean, it is more transmissible. What does that mean? Transmissibility simply means that it goes from one person to the other more easily. So where you had to be, 3 feet apart and, 15 minutes of contact in order to have a high level of transmissibility. That's where they got the 6 feet from.
Right.
Yeah, 3 feet, 15, 3 and 15, 3 feet together, 15 minutes. And so they said, well, let's double that.
Okay.
And the reason why is you just imagine as the particles of mucus go forward, they spread out in a sphere.
Yes.
So it's by the square of it.
Yeah.
And so if you're twice as far away, you are many, many more times less likely to get a particle on you.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what this means is that it'll at 6 feet and 5 minutes. It'll get you infected. That's what it means, transmissibility. Now, what are we really worried about is morbidity and mortality.
Yeah.
So morbidity, we'll just use that as a buzzword for hospitalization. So you get so sick that you can't do it at home. And you got to go to the hospital, get some oxygen.
Right.
Maybe get one of those BiPAP masks, which is a mask that blows air into your lungs to keep your oxygen higher.
Yeah.
God forbid you're on a ventilator.
Right.
And then, obviously, mortality is death. We don't know yet. Okay, so that's one of the things. Two things. One thing we know is that it's more transmissible. So maybe 8 feet for 5 minutes or something like that. You can get it. And then the other thing we know is, or we don't know, I'm sorry, is that we don't know if it's going to be more dangerous in terms of hospitalizations.
Right.
But, you know, you think about it, the more cases that we have, the more hospitalizations in terms of number. So what does this mean? Oh, and the other big issue that I think is scaring people is the are the vaccines we have now going to be effective against this 32 mutant variability? And we don't know that either. So what are they studying? They're not studying necessarily the vaccine people. They're going whole hog on studying the booster people and whether the booster people, that is to say three vaccine people, you've gotten your two regular shots and your booster, whether they're going to be immune. This is a tough question, and it bodes poorly for the future because this means we're going to have this forever. You know, and it's scary. That, to me, is scary because we've lost something. We've lost a carefree, happy-go-lucky life where we can go see our friends. We can walk. I mean, I went to Nordstrom's in Charlotte yesterday for a shopping experience. Wasn't that bad.
Okay.
Everybody's wearing masks except for those who were defiant. I almost got killed in the parking lot.
Really?
Yeah. This New Yorker was way down the end of the line, okay? Yeah. I mean, this was 10 minutes looking for a parking place. And so I pulled in. A car pulled out.
Yeah.
And I just zipped right in. And next thing I know, I'm getting ready. You know, my electric car has to tone down, and I have to turn off all these switches and stuff. Rap on my window.
Really?
The guy's not wearing a mask. So I got my iPhone ready, and I started videoing because I thought this is going to be trouble.
Oh, man.
And the guy, he says, roll down your window. And I says, you're getting out of this space. This is mine. I just paused for a second. I said, I'm going to take this the calm way. Okay, this is hell for now. We're going to talk about this, too, about firefighter. The firefighter taught me this.
Yeah.
To calm down, take a big deep breath.
Yeah.
And I rolled up my window. I got out of my car holding my iPhone up on video.
Yes.
And he said, this is my space. And I said, excuse me? And he said, yeah, I was waiting for it for 5 minutes. I said, I didn't see you. He says, yes, you did. You did this on purpose. And so I said, I'm not moving. And he said, yes, you are. I looked at him. And I said, I got my phone on.
Yeah.
There are security cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
Your wife is in your car, embarrassed as all get out. What are you going to do to make me move?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, are you going to hit me? Are you going to shoot me? Are you going to grab me and throw me on the ground? Because all three of those options means you go to jail. The other option is you get back in your car and drive away.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, shocked that I would approach this in a calm, you know, calculating manner. And he turned around, got in his car, and drove away.
Man.
Now, did my blood pressure go up a little bit? I think so.
What's the condition of your car right now?
What do you
mean?
Is
it in good shape? Did somebody key you?
I was worried about that, actually.
You were worried about that.
But this guy was in a Lexus. You know,
oh, okay.
He was dressed. And it was Nordstrom's, okay?
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the crowd that shops at Nordstrom's.
Is it upper class?
No.
Better
I would
than
say
Walmart?
I would say it's hoity-toity.
Hoity-toity. Well, I wouldn't be there.
They had a name at Nordstrom's for the hoity-toity.
But
it was good. And, you know, the prices aren't that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. On today's show, we're going to talk about a vaccine for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
You're never going to believe where you
put it. It's coming. I think this is another great tribute to American medicine and the researchers that we have.
Very good. And a potential breakthrough for type 1 diabetes.
It's more than a breakthrough.
You think it's a cure?
It has been shown to cure this one guy.
Okay.
And I think that this is a great thing.
All right. That's coming up on this show. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. Listen to Heart Health Radio on Apple Podcasts or at hearthealthradio.com with all the hot hits from the 70s, including Shame. Who are we shaming today?
We're shaming a judge, Judge Dan Polster.
Yeah?
And this is my take on the opioid crisis. It's horrible. It's terrible.
Yeah.
We are in the midst of an epidemic of epic proportions.
Yeah.
You know, we've lost 500,000 people in the last 10 years to opioid overdoses. Well, he has claimed that CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart are responsible. Okay. So they prescribe the prescriptions that doctors wrote, and the pharmacists there filled them. Now, most of the pharmacies that really went whole hog on this were, I'm sorry to say, if you're a mom and pop, it was the mom and pops.
Yeah.
So it was limited, say, in West Virginia. There were two pharmacies in West Virginia that basically all they did was fill opioid prescription.
Wow.
But here's my take on this, and you could call me a crazy right-winger or whatever, but I believe in something called personal responsibility. And by that I mean, are we going to blame anybody in this? I think there's the blame to be taken by the addict, him or herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody wants to say that the poor addict is not responsible. They had a disease, and the first person to blame is the doctor.
Yeah.
Because the doctor was a pill pusher, gave them too many prescriptions. Now, were there doctors who were pill pushers?
Right.
Yes. It's like saying that there are bad cops. Does that mean that cops are responsible for all the crimes that a few bad cops do?
Right.
No.
Right.
Now, let me ask you a question. What percentage of legally written prescriptions for people who have legitimate medical needs for opioids are overdoses? Of the overdoses, how many came from legitimate prescriptions?
I don't know.
Less than 1%.
Really?
So 80% of the overdoses today are from heroin and fentanyl. And right. Those are illegally used drugs by drug addicts. And believe it or not, it's amazing they don't talk about the recreational use of heroin and fentanyl. These are people who live normal jobs.
Wow.
Who have normal lives, even families. And every now and then they go out and hit themselves with heroin and fentanyl. What's the problem? Oh, I'm sorry. And 19% are from diverted prescriptions. And by that I mean people who get Percocet. That's the number one. And then
sure.
They sell it.
Yeah.
That's dropping. And you know why?
Because you can't get it.
No, you can get them. But fentanyl is so cheap.
Oh.
Oh, my God. The manufacturer of fentanyl is a very – I'm not going to tell it online because then I'll be responsible.
So it's a simple thing?
It's a simple thing. It's simpler than creating meth from Sudafed. And, you know, you can't get Sudafed without showing your license now.
Right.
That actually worked. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
That actually worked. It cut down on meth. But the point I'm trying to make is that there has to be a level of personal responsibility. I know somebody who decided one day they were going to snort a Percocet for fun.
Hmm.
It was pure fentanyl.
Uh-huh.
And it was, you know, smashed into a tablet, pressed into a tablet, and even had the little indentations that, you know, medicines have. You ever looked at your medicine and there's
letter
or something like that? They crushed it and snorted it and dropped over dead. Now, luckily, they were revived. She had kidney failure, liver failure, you name it, failure. So can you blame McDonald's for your heart attack? I mean, think about it.
No.
Is the food addictive? Yes, it is.
Oh, delicious. The French fries?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. And so come on now.
All right. Shorty is on line one. Hi, Shorty. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good.
You look good the last time I saw you. You look marvelous.
Oh, thank you. Now, let's talk about me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I went to Radiation Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is clear. Come back in 5 months.
Are you kidding me?
Yay.
That is so
awesome. That is so awesome. For those of you who don't know, Shorty's my patient. And she's got a pacemaker and has some other heart issues, but she had a lump in her neck. And originally, I thought that was something from the neck, but it came from her lung.
Right.
So she's had cancer surgery, and then you had chemo, and now you're having something really cool, right? Are you still doing immunotherapy?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so what that's trying to do is make her own immune system kill off the cancer. And then she's getting radiation therapy. And the way radiation therapy works, you think about it, it sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, because Chernobyl causes cancer.
Yeah.
Well, what they do is they focus a beam of gamma rays, which are the radiation, very high, powerful, same as light waves, but just in a different spectrum.
Yeah.
And the cancer cells are dividing more quickly. So what you're trying to do is destroy the DNA of the dividing cancer cells while leaving the good cells alone. But what happens? Did you get the radiation therapy tan? Is your skin all dark?
Dr. Anderson said that this would probably last.
Yeah. Well, they cone it down. What does that mean? They get lead?
Yeah.
I'm on every 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And he wants to double the medicine, and maybe I can come every 3 weeks and then keep going to him.
Yeah.
Maybe once a month.
You are a walking, talking miracle of modern medicine. Isn't that great?
Thank you.
Yeah. They even make something called a gamma knife now. Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, so it's really concentrated. It's a really concentrated beam of radiation. And they call it a knife because if you have a tumor in a certain part of your skull,
your
brain,
yes,
they can do CTs and MRIs and create a map and then take this machine that makes a little, it's like a Star Trek, you know? The torpedo. It was the phaser.
Yeah.
And go right in there and knife out the tumor. So, but Shorty, when you got started with the radiation, did they have to set you up, like, to figure out exactly where and put covers
on you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So you had it. I'm so proud of you. It's just awesome.
All right. Take care, Shorty.
Love you.
I do like the fact that you all right. Thank you, Shorty. That Dr. Weifold asks me, you know what a gamma knife is? Well, sure. I mean, last weekend I was operating a gamma knife.
I'm going to talk about my trip to Charlotte again. I'm driving down 85, and there's a big billboard.
There's an advertisement
for
a gamma
knife? We have the gamma knife.
Gamma knife.
So you should know if you drive to Charlotte.
Apparently I should.
Yeah.
Apparently I should. All right. We're going to pick up with Linda and Carrie in just a moment. We also expect to hear from Rose Hoban from North Carolina
Health. Rose is here.
And this will be a good show. I hope you could just stay around and listen to us. This is the Heart Health Radio Network.
Now back to Heart Health. Have a question for Dr. Weifold? Call 919-860-9783.
Get better, stay healthy, and spot medical misinformation by listening to this radio show and maybe even calling up. Linda and Carrie, thank you very much for calling. I'm having that weird thing where I can't push the button again. Oh, hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Hi there. What's going on?
I need some advice. I have been driving this elderly woman to doctor's appointments and other appointments.
Good for you.
Because she can't drive.
Yes.
And she had COVID.
Okay.
She's in the hospital twice with it.
Oh, my gosh.
Now she's home. And she tested me last night and asked whether I would feel safe driving her to appointments now. Mm-hmm. She's been home for about 2 weeks. Is it safe for me to have her in my car and drive her to appointments?
Okay, let me tell you what I would say. With COVID, nothing is 100% safe. But let me ask you the most important question. Are you vaccinated yourself?
Yes, I am.
Good.
I've had everything, including the flu shot.
Okay, and you got the booster?
Yes.
Okay, so I think that I'll give you percentages. How does that sound?
Yeah.
I think it's about 98% that you will not catch COVID from her. I think that, to me, the biggest question for this situation would be, would you give her COVID? You understand what
really?
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, okay, what would I do if I were you? Okay, and what I'm trying to say here is very careful. Because if someone were listening and they did a similar thing and got COVID and died, they would say, well, Dr. Weifold said.
Mm.
And so what I'm giving you are percentages. I would think that if you wore a mask in the car and she wore a mask in the car and she sat in the back seat, Okay, now I know that you might think that's mean.
No,
because, you know, I want her to feel good sitting next to me. We can chat. But I think what you're doing is God's work. You are being a good neighbor, and you're showing the love of other people, which, you know, Jesus asked us to do. And I think that the chances that you would pass COVID to her or she would pass COVID to you are very small. And I think there's a 98% chance that this won't happen. If I were you and I had the time to do what you're doing, I would keep doing it.
Yeah.
But nothing is 100%. But the fact that you are triple I like to call it triple vaccinated, okay? The fact you're triple vaccinated, you've had the flu shot, you're going to wear a mask, and you're going to have a very positive and warm feeling. And why does that matter? Because stress makes your immune system less active. So, I mean, think about it. When people get sick, the only time I've gotten sick in the last 10 years is when I had a real bad situation with my mental health.
Yeah.
And I got sick. I mean, I got the flu, influenza, and even though I had been vaccinated, and I got all sorts of viral illnesses. So here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it carefully. If you wear a mask and you're happy and feeling the love of Jesus in your heart, and you are doing what you think is right, and she wears a mask, and you sit, and she sits in the back seat, I think the chance that you're going to pass it on between each other is extremely small.
Yeah.
And so if I were you, I would do it.
Okay, with her sitting in the back seat is a little bit, isn't so great because she has a hard time. She uses a walker.
Uh-huh.
She has a very hard time.
What kind of car do you have?
I have a Honda Civic.
Yeah, it's a small car. Okay, so then if you have her sit in the front seat, and it is true, when I hauled my dad around.
Yeah.
I had a nice car, Ford Flex, which, you know, a big, big back seat. It was so much harder to get him out of the back seat than the front seat. Okay, so sit in the front seat, maybe that increased the risk greater. But like I said, for you, the risk is even smaller. I think the risk that you are now an asymptomatic carrier and passing it on to her is extremely small. But I'm going to tell you, if you do what you do and you're happy, and it gives you warmth in your heart, that's more important to me than worrying about COVID because it overrides it, right?
Yeah. But one more little question.
Yeah.
Being the fact that she had COVID, doesn't that mean she has some natural immunity?
Yeah, you know? And I believe in natural immunity, but there are cases, and again, I'm saying this not to scare you, but there are cases in very elderly people who are sick, who have been triple vaccinated and have had COVID and have gotten it again. And I suppose there is someone out there who has actually died this way. They think the Omicron variant came from somebody who was chronically ill with an autoimmune disease, and the COVID just brewed like yeast in a beer bottle or beer vat.
Yeah.
So, live. And I'm going to use the term if I were you, not what you should do based on what I'm telling you. I would just say if I were you, I would be happy and it would make my day to take her to her doctor's appointments. And I would not feel worried. I wouldn't about transmissibility in this situation. Now, let's find out what Omicron does. Omicron does.
Yeah.
And if it evades our immunity, then that's a whole different story.
Right.
Yeah.
But God bless you for doing that. And I think, you know, if we had more of this kindness and generosity and warmth of spirit, the world would be a better place. You're making the world a better place. Did you know that?
No, not really.
Yes, you are.
You are. Yes,
you are. You are making the world a better place. You know why? There are going to be people out there going, she's taking elderly people to her doctor's appointments. I'm going to do that too.
Right.
It's called pay it forward.
Thank you, Linda.
Pat yourself on the back.
Right. I also hope that when I get to be that age and need rides, that I'll be able to get rides.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, I'll come. I'll come get you.
Thank you, Linda.
And I have a fancy car, too.
It's funny. Linda, he says that like he's not going to be in the senior citizens clientele
pretty soon,
you know? It's not like...
Well, I'm gonna get in my wheelchair and hitchhike.
That's exactly right.
And I bet you people will stop. You do it in front of a church and you'll definitely get a ride.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah.
One day, I'll come visit you in the home, Dr. Weefald.
No.
I will do that for you. Larry in Raleigh. Hi. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good.
Just a quick point.
Take your time.
My mother and father, who are 85 and 84 respectively, were vaccinated in March, April when the vaccine was released. They both got Moderna.
Yes.
Great.
And unfortunately, they were tested, were given an antibody test a couple of weeks ago and had no antibodies left from their original vaccinations. Is that normal, or are we seeing, or is that fairly common practice in the reason for the call for the booster shot?
Yeah, that is an unfortunate but rare situation. And I think that you'll see CVS and maybe others offering free antibody tests. I would not base getting a booster on whether your antibodies are there or not. I would get the booster anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, does this mean they're not immune? Let me tell you about antibodies, and something I think nobody's telling you about is that they can disappear. That doesn't mean they're not there. It means that the levels are lower than what the limits of the test will detect. But immunity is also T cells. Okay, so B cells make antibodies, and the antibodies are the first line of defense in most people, some not.
Right.
And they attach to the foreign thing, and then they recruit killer cells, the T cells, the white blood cells, to finish off the job. There are things called natural killer cells that roam the body. They're like the guardian angels in New York City subways, okay? And they strike first. So I wouldn't panic. I would definitely get the booster for your parents. And I would just go about your business. They could have natural immunity from their T cells. And the other thing is, even though your antibody levels are low, when the virus hits, the B cells go into overdrive. Mm-hmm. They have memory. And so there are B cells lurking in their system that will immediately produce the antibodies that they had before. So everybody's different. Some people maintain high levels of antibodies. So, for example, if you got the measles vaccine, I'll bet you that you have measles antibodies floating around in your blood, but you could not. They could be quiescent is the term that we call. And so, you know, I would just go about your business, get them the booster shot, and not panic, and don't worry.
Well, I will get the vaccination at the appropriate time. Unfortunately, I had to use the monoclonal.